Michelle?
I could instantly recognise that I have done this, mm-hmm. even though it is not a nice thing to say, and it makes you squirm and you just think, oh God, that's the kind of thing that it makes me want to do. But one of my really clear examples is my sister and I were having a fallout when we were much younger. And I think it's quite easy to see in sibling relationships. Mm-hmm. And she said something like, you're pissing me off, you fat something, something, or whatever. We were just in a heated argument. And I turned around to her and said, well, at least I don't have a wonky nose. And that has stuck with her throughout her whole adulthood, to the point where last year she got Botox in her nose. And every time I see her, we end up talking about it, or she says, well, at least you don't have the wonky nose like I do. Now you've given me a complex about it. So I really wish it's something I could take back, but I didn't in the moment. It was just, I'm going to soccer punch you and give it you right back. Like, how dare you say that about me? And it is right, she does have a wonky nose.
I think we can conclude that you won, right?
I did, but it's not very nice.
No. Good.
So yeah, that's my example.
Yes, fantastic. And I think, like, when we do this, right, take it a little bit like confession. There's something, because you're laughing now, right? You say, it's not very nice, but you're still laughing about it. Many times there's something liberating about confessing to or exposing these sides in yourself. It's like, yeah, when you really judge them harshly, then you need a lot of managers to keep them out of your awareness. That means you expand your personality structure. When you confess to them and go like, yeah, well, you know, I did this. It's a way of slimming down your personality structure. Good. Other sharings.
Thanks. That was it.
Thanks. Yeah, Sean.
Forgive me, Klaus, for I have sinned. I couldn't find one, and then I found one. I was like, "Ooh, that was." It was like mine. I think is a bit more nuanced now because I've decided it's bad.
Mm-hmm.
Like I came to the conclusion it's very bad. Mm-hmm. One slipped out when I wrote a post. There was a post on LinkedIn that really pissed me off. What really pissed me off was the guy. He was just arrogant and annoying. And so I wrote a retort to his post, and then used his own language to kind of make a joke at the end.
Mm-hmm.
He ended it with, I'm just being honest, or just being honest, just putting it out there. And so then I kind of came back, tore it apart, and then said, just being honest, just putting it out there with a smiley face. And
wonderful. Face. Wonderful. Yeah, exactly.
It's a great pleasure in tearing it apart, if I'm honest.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. So. Yeah. Exactly. And then that's the cherry on the top of the cake, or what do you say, right? Like using the own language at the end and smiley face.
It was all in the cherry, because really what got me about it was the fact that he was like, oh, I'm just being direct, just being honest. And it was like, that's annoying.
Yeah.
And then, but actually what I did was really annoying, and I knew it would be.
Yeah. Wonderful. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Others... Yeah, Caroline.
Well, this is the closest that I got a little crack in there,
mm-hmm.
which is, I was Rachel had said, you know, when other people, when you do it with other people, but not with a person. Well, link is kind of linked to that. So when we were on holiday earlier this year, and we were in a ski shop, and Aaron made a very, very funny comment, but it was one of those quips at Craig. I mean, it was absolutely hysterical. And we all fell about laughing, but not Craig. And what I was saying to Alex is, had that been the other way around, or normally when I see that in a workplace or with any friends, I always call it out and go, hey, that's not nice. What's the real message trying to say? Because mm-hmm. I don't like it. But actually, in that moment, take a site that was extremely funny, when I which I always just thought it was until I paused. But then I was thinking about it with Alex, I was thinking, well, how did I feel about that? And there was a sense of, well, good, you deserve that because you've been so bloody mean to Aaron, or you've been so mean to me, or...
Yeah.
And I'd not noticed that before.
Good.
So... I get what you said, because even when you said, you know, when do you deliberately press people's buttons, I don't have any consciousness of doing that because I'm always so focused on, I might be hurt or angry or whatever, and it's, the focus is on me rather than I'm deliberately going to do this so you get, I just don't feel like I have awareness of operating like that in the world. I must do it, but it's not in my conscious product.
So that means it's very good that you caught one where at least you piggybacked on somebody else's.
Oh, totally. And then I got that. But what I like, but linked to then what Saul, what you just said to Saul, is what I said to Alex also, is that I felt like a sense of relief.
Yeah.
Part of most of the consciousness of that relief, but I've got another layer in there because of what you just said to Saul, is that, you know, I think we all know that whenever you say something is there, we all, well, I know, I'll own it for me, I know that there's something I'm missing, so it's like, oh, thank God I've got a little clue of it, because it's obviously there, I'm just so blind to it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to say.
Yeah. Good.
It's a start.
Yes, it is. Rachel Nenusola?
Yeah, I was struggling with this one. I wasn't sure if the example I came up with was a proper example of this or not. It was like this idea of pushing people's buttons in a way that appears innocent. It's like, well, I think sometimes when I'm setting a boundary with somebody, I might kind of poke fun of them a bit, not to their face though. But then I'm like, actually, I think that what I'm doing in setting the boundary is valid, but I'm feeling really anxious about doing it. So then I'm in my mind laughing at them. So an example would be my neighbour, who is, you know, feels entitled to just tromp along my land whenever she wants to and take whatever she wants off it. So I put a lock on my gate, which I think I'm perfectly entitled to put a lock on my own gate to my own land. But I know as I did it, I was like, oh, this is going to piss her off, ha ha ha, kind of thing. So, but say to her face, I was just thinking it. So it's like, it's almost like I know it's going to be kind of pushing her buttons a bit, the idea that I'm securing my land so she can't just wander on. But at the same time, I'm like, I don't think I'm doing it to appear innocent. I'm doing it because I want to actually set a boundary. But then there's this sense of having to laugh at her because I'm feeling so anxious about setting the boundary.
Yes, yes, yes. No, that's a very common dynamic. Yeah, very common. And it's like taking a bit of pleasure also. It's like, it's not just setting a boundary. It's almost like setting the boundary becomes a little better because it pisses her off, right? Yeah, exactly. Good, excellent, good example. Ursula?
I found another example, but when we were talking, something else came up to my mind, and I'm not sure. So I know that I want things to be right. So, and sometimes when somebody says something that is not quite right, then it might be that I say, it's like that. So I'm putting it right. And on the other hand, I'm showing that I'm superior to the other.
Does it have a flavor of sort of like, because when you see the others, it often the flavor is like, we laugh a lot when you talk about it, right? Because there is that kind of trickster energy to it, that kind of a humorous element or something like that. Do you feel that, or is it more like, no, I'm just superior to them?
A little taste of it.
Okay, wonderful. Good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Excellent. Good. And how is it to see it?
Not so nice. Because my mother did it, she did it much more explicitly, and I didn't like it at all. It really was very painful. And so I thought I wouldn't do that, but
how is it to acknowledge it in this setting? Like, of course it's you go like, oh god, this is not my finest quality, but talk openly about it. How is that, talking openly about it?
It brings it more to the light. That's good.
Yeah, exactly. Good. Wonderful. Other sharings? Yeah, Amanda.
I was relating it more to sarcasm and patronizing, and I don't know if that's alongside this. So
yep, let's include it.
So I've been on the receiving end of that. It was easier to see. So I used an example of to try and feel into it, but there's an example of I gave of this guy when I was training, this really big guy, I'm really small, so I felt quite threatened by him because he was used his power, his physical power, it felt to me, and I'm small, and so I felt small in his presence. But he'd say, so I'd use my verbal power, being, you know, small, and so he would combat that by saying, oh, is that Amanda just kicking off again? And it was supposed to be a joke. Only I didn't take it as a joke, given that it said publicly, either say it personally to me or publicly. And if I kicked off then at him saying that, it was me kicking off again. I know in myself that I'm quite capable of being sarcastic. A bit like the example with the email of, I'll think of something very clever to say at the end. That isn't sincere and is more of a sarcastic riposte. Or I've caught myself being patronizing. I hate being patronized, but I've caught myself being patronizing. But I don't know if that's the same as what you're talking about.
No, I think it let's include it, right? It's like, of course, there's no hard and fast boundaries around these. Like, take it as really what we want to do here is just use some of descriptions of these personality parts to see more of our own personality structure. So, yeah, I think this is good. And I think the sarcasm is definitely often a part of this. Because it is really, you use sarcasm and then it really hits other people, but then they can't come back at you because you go like, come on, it's just a joke. Like, don't be so sensitive. Yeah. So, yeah. Good. Maybe let's take a break soon, but there's one more thing I want to say about it, and that is, I think as we go through these different types of patterns, the more you dislike them, the more difficult it's gonna be for you to see them. That is obvious, right? Because the more you dislike them, the more the sides of you that will embody some of these patterns will be buried. That's obvious. And so sometimes those sides of you may peep out and only gain control of your behavior very rarely. So it's also interesting to ask yourself, not just when you do it, but when you want to do it, right? And sometimes maybe you have the perfect punchline that would be on somebody else's expense. You might not say it, but man, you would want to say it. Does that help in? Okay, now Caroline is completely on board, right? This is like, oh yes, the repertoire. Good. I think just before the break, give us one of your best. A line you didn't say, but you really wanted to. Do you need the break to think about it? When we come back after the break, give us one of the good lines that you like. I really wanted to say that. Would be such a punch in the gut, right? It's like in a humorous way. But I didn't do it because, you know, I'm a nice person and all these kind of things. But really, the impulse was there. Because there's some... And the reason I invite you to do it is because there is something about when you acknowledge these sides of yourself, put words to them, you slim down your personality structure. It doesn't mean, I'm not saying like from now on you should go around and do sarcastic put downs all the time. But there's something very relieving about acknowledging the sides of you that really want to. Right? It humanizes you. Good. Yeah, so?
Do you mean like within a criticism, for example, if you have so much of a close control around yes. it, that it kind of solidifies inside, so it's still there, right? Like it
yes,
it almost...
In inner criticism, I give 5 ways of detecting self-criticism. One is feeling bad, right? That's where you are totally identified with the part that's being criticized. If you're at the other end of the spectrum, you find, I know that other people do this, but I honestly think I never do. I say, when that's your feeling, you are completely identified with the criticizing part. You see? So in this case, the part that gives the sarcasm, right? That's the part. And then there's a part criticizing and saying that it's bad to make humor, jokes at other people's expense, right? There's a part that makes the jokes. This is being criticized by the part that says it's bad to do it. If you are identified with this one, you might feel bad for making jokes at other people's expense, right? You go like, I do this, but it's not, I mean, I'm a smut because I do it. At this end, you say, I know that there are, that people do this. I have no conscious awareness of anything in me that would even want to do it, right? Can you see? That's where the criticizing part is totally dominating. And the criticized part is so criticized that it's completely pushed out of conscious awareness. Yeah, Rachel?
I'm having something, when you said about something you might think rather than actually say, something straight away came to mind. Now, I don't think I actually think it, but maybe I think the thought, the feeling behind it, if it was right, is actually something that one of my family, one of my mother would used to say, and that's, who died and made you the Pope?
Good.
And I don't think that I would use that phrase, but the energy and the idea behind it, I think I would often feel it about my husband, like, what's making you so important?
Exactly, right. Yeah, good. Excellent. Nice. Yeah, good. Let's have a break, and then we come back with a lot of aggression and attacks and stuff like that. It's gonna be great. We come back, let's say 5 minutes past, we go again.